We want to start talking about success. Success. It's something everybody wants. And it's probably true that everyone has a different definition of success. Actually, just this past week, I saw a TV ad on television. And it actually said, success. Everyone wants it. So because I was kind of giving this message, I just kind of tuned in. And it showed a picture of a nice home and, you know, a beautiful family eating around the table, a nice car, all that. And then all of a sudden, it kind of shows up. It was some investment company that if you invest in them, they'll give you success. And I'm not so sure about that, at least by God's definition. But I think it shows that success is something everybody wants. So what does God say about success and how to obtain it? Actually, plenty. So we're going to talk about this over the next 3 weeks. So be sure that you listen to all three parts, okay? Now today, we're going to look at where not to look for success. And that's important because often we're looking for it in the wrong places. And usually, we're not even sure what we're looking for. And God has a lot to say about that. I think last week I shared very briefly about when I was a kid, and I'm not even sure who told me this, maybe my mom or my uncle or something, that at the end of a rainbow, there's a pot of gold. And when I was real little, I used to think, oh, I would love to get that. And as it got bigger, I probably knew there wasn't. But I can remember my mom and dad driving with them. We see a rainbow and telling my dad, drive a little faster, we get to it. But you know what happened? What would happen is every time we drive, the rainbow would just kind of get further away, right? But then when I was living in El Paso, Texas, I was about 6th or 7th grade. There you have to water the grass, kind of like here. And I remember somehow I was shooting the sprinkler up, and if I shot it in the right direction, I saw a rainbow. And I could see the end of it, and there's no pot of gold, which I probably knew by 6th grade. But still, there's always something inside of me that wondering, maybe there is. Just like I can remember reading in school about Ponce de León. He was an explorer from Spain, and some Indians had told him about the Fountain of Youth. And he was in the south where I happened to live when I heard about this story. And whenever I was out in the woods, I would sort of fantasize that all of a sudden, if I got off the trail, I would find that Fountain of Youth. But you know what? It was a delusion. It wasn't really there, was it? So anyway, I'd like for us to start off looking at some words from King Solomon. Now, King Solomon was really a picture of success, at least by the world standards. He was King David's son. Probably most of you know that. So he was heir to the throne of Israel. He built a beautiful temple. We call it Solomon's Temple today. He expanded the borders of Israel to a place where it had never been before and never has been since then. And he did it without war. He was known for his wisdom. He had lots of wealth. In fact, more wealth than any person in the world. He had time to study the trees and plants and flowers. In fact, the expression that was used for hundreds of years later was, and Jesus even used it, Solomon in all his glory. Because he had that. You know, he also had lots of women. 700 wives and 300 concubines. And that's a lot of it, you know. But then he got distracted, and he lost his passion for the Lord. And by the end of his life, he realized that even though he had had a good start, he'd gotten sidetracked. And he'd wasted a lot of time,
y había perdido
energy,
mucho tiempo,
and a good part of his life. And so he writes the book of Ecclesiastes.
Y él escribió el libro de Ecclesiastes.
And I want us to look at the book of Ecclesiastes.
Quiero que veamos el libro de
now, of course, we don't have time to study the whole book in the next 34 minutes. But I would like for us to take a look at some key parts of it and encourage you to read it. So this was written at the end of his life. And let's start off. Let's just read the first 11 verses to get a picture of what the feeling of this book. Starting in verse 1, chapter 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. So he called himself the preacher, the son of David, and the king. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in all his work, which he does up in the sun? A generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Also the sun rises, the sun sets, and hastens to his place where it rises again. In other words, what he's saying here is that, you know, life goes on, you know, generation, generation, you know, the sun comes up every morning, it always sets, that's the way it's always been, the way it always will be. Blowing toward the south, verse 6, and turning toward the north, the wind continues swirling along on its circular course as the wind returns. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full, to the place where the rivers flow. Then they flow again. So he's saying that, you know, the wind, it keeps going, but it never really gets to where it's supposed to go. In fact, it starts kind of coming this way. And he says, and the rivers, they always kind of flow into the ocean, you know, and yet the ocean never gets higher. You know, what happens? You know? And he says, all these things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell us. But I like this, is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is that which will be. And that which has not, which has been done is that which will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything new of which one might say? See this, it is new. Already it has existed for ages.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It wasn't like I haven't seen it before, and it looks really pixelated. I don't know if that was with what I was looking at, but at this time it was okay.
And so, I do have the idea that the world was going on and on with us, but without us.
No, I think it's like some with Facebook.
That's what he said, and this is the King of Solomon. And then he says, well, there in verse 1 he says, or verse 2 he says, vanity of vanities, all is vanities. And then he goes through most of Ecclesiastes and just talks about how all is vanity. All is futility. Look at verse 12. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my mind to seek and explore my wisdom concerning all that's been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sight of man to be acquainted with. I have seen all the works which you have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What is it? Yeah, we'll just kind of end there for now. Okay, so he's saying that all is vanity. Actually, the Hebrew word is abil, which you probably don't remember. But this is what it means. Vanity is also translated as futility or empty, or delusion, or something that's fleeting. In fact, literally it means a vapor. You're like a little puff of smoke that comes. What happens? You put your hand down. What happens? It's gone. You can't see it anymore. And then he says, all is vanity and is striving after the wind.
Literally, that means like trying to catch the wind. Have you ever tried to catch the wind?
You can't do it. You
stand there, you can feel it, but you can't grab it, you can't hold it. You can't just grab it and kind of take it inside and kind of let it roll around the house.
It's,
you know it's there, it's real, you can feel it.
But
that's the way much of the pursuit of this world is.
Es como el perseguir en este mundo. La vanidad es todo.
It's fleeting. It's deception. It's like a vapor. And we can go on and we can see the futility. For example, of pleasure and possession. Let's jump down to chapter 2. I said to myself. This is Solomon talking at the end of his life. Come now, I'll test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. Or emptiness. Or delusion. Now see, he was trying to get wisdom. He was trying to get more possessions. His body thought, well, pleasure, that's what it is. I'll just enjoy pleasure. He said, you know what? It was empty too. I said of laughter, it is madness, and of pleasure, what does it accomplish? And really, the rest of the chapter, he talks about chapter 2, he talks about how he accumulated all sorts of things for pleasure's sake, and for his enjoyment. Like in verse 4, he talks about, I built houses for myself. He planted vineyards for himself. He made gardens and parks for himself. Actually, he was probably the first person to ever have a park. He did a lot of it. He planted all sorts of fruit trees. He made ponds of water, it says. And he even had a forest that he planted. And he found a way of irrigating it. This is where he came up with irrigation, you know. He said, I bought male slaves and female slaves. Basically, he had to do everything. You know? He bought all sorts of flocks and herds of sheep and cattle and whatever. He collected more silver and gold than any other person in the world, he says. And at the end of it, he said, it's all futility. It's all futility. You know, verse 11 was his conclusion. Then I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I exerted, and behold, all was vanity, or futility, or emptiness, or deception, and striving after men, and there is no profit under the sun. It's kind of sad, isn't it?
It's triste, verdad?
Did all this, worked all this hard, you know, chasing and chasing and chasing for something that would satisfy, and nothing
satisfied.
You know. Then he goes on, he talks about this in verse 16 and 17. For there's no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool. As much as in the coming day, all will be forgotten. And how the wise man and the fool alike die. So he's saying, you know, I thought being a wise man would set me apart. But then I realized, once we die, I'm just like a foolish man. You know, what's the advantage of it? We're all going to be forgotten. Verse 17, so I hated life. He just got to the place he just hated life. For the work which he had done under the sun was grievous to him, because everything is futility or emptiness and striving after wind. And he goes on chapter after chapter talking about, I tried to live just a good life. You know what? That was futility. He says, you know, wars. He says he never participated in war himself, but he said he looked at all the nations and how they were war. And then he looked about how neighbors would be rivals with one another. And his conclusion is, for what purpose? What does it really do? He says, I tried working really hard.
You know what?
That didn't satisfy. I tried having more power and more influence. And that too was empty.
Eso era vacío.
And then by the time you get to chapter 6, he says even life itself is futile. Look at verse 3. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, ever been baby, but his soul is not satisfied with good things and does not even have a proper burial, then I say, better than miscarriage than baby. For it comes in futility and goes into obscurity, and its name is covered in obscurity. It never sees the sun, and it never knows anything. It is better off than me. So he's saying, you know, in some ways, there is just be a miscarriage, which is kind of a very pessimistic thing to say, isn't it? And then, verse 6, he says, even if the other man lives 1,000 years twice, like 2,000 years, and does not enjoy good things, do not all go to one place? All man's labor is for his mouth, and yet the appetite, or we may not have this, is not satisfied. He goes on and says, the spiritual appetite is never, never satisfied. Verse 9. What the eye sees is better than what the soul desires. That's always true, right? This too is futility, is fighting up to it. You know, we can go drive around, see a beautiful house. Oh, yeah, if I had that, I'd be satisfied. I'd go down to the new car lot in Denver, the real expensive ones. Oh, if I had that, I would be really satisfied. He says, the eye always. In verse 12, for who knows what is good for a man during his lifetime? During the few years of his futile life, he was spending like a shadow. For who can tell a man what will be after under the sun? He says, even life itself is just a few years. Now, these are the words of the most successful man
del hombre más exitoso
in ancient history.
En toda la historia,
he had everything.
Verdad,
but yet at the end of his life, this is what he said.
De su vida, esto era lo
I encourage you to read the book yourself. It's not all depressing. There's a lot of good practical nuggets of how to live our lives. But the theme is clearly that without God, living for Him, all is vanity.
Todo es vanidad.
All is futile.
Todo es vacío.
It's deception.
Es empty.
These are the words from a person who had it all,
una persona
yet
que lo
was
tuvo
not
todo.
Satisfied.
No estuvo satisfecho, te imaginas.
The summary of the book, chapter 12, verse 13.
El resumen de todo el libro en Eclesiastes.
The conclusion, all has been heard, is
mira lo que dice,
fear God and keep His commandments.
Cuando todo se ha oído, es esta. Teme a Dios y guarda sus mandamientos. Porque esto defiende a toda persona.
Well, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2.
Because
the prophets talk about the same thing in different ways. In Jeremiah chapter 2, let's look at verse 5 first. Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me that they went far from me? And get this, and walked after emptiness and became empty. They walked after emptiness and so they became empty.
Dice que anduvieron detrás de.
Verse
8.
It talks about the priest did not say, where is the Lord? And those who had the law did not know him. The rulers also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal. And walked after things that did not profit. It didn't profit anything. It didn't really make a difference. Verse 11, as a nation changed gods, when they were not gods, God people have changed their glory for that which does not. And then verse 13, we read this before. For my people have committed two uses. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to you for themselves, cisterns.
Para sí, cisternas agrietadas que no requieren el
agua. Ese es un mensaje
que nos muestra el
Señor. Hoy en día, forsaking God, the fountain of living waters.
La fuente de agua.
Yes, there's a fountain with living waters. We can talk more about that next week. And the second thing is they chase after broken cisterns. You know what a cistern is, don't you? Cisterna in Spanish. It's actually quite a more common word in Spanish than it is in English, but it's a container, a large container that holds water. But if it's broken, what happens? It all leaks out. And we can't be doing both the same thing. We can't be following God and chasing broken cisterns. If we're following God, then we are chasing broken cisterns. And if we're chasing broken cisterns, we have forsaken Him. And I believe we have some, this is the way a lot of people are. We've kind of had this before, but here are some cisterns, people kind of go, and everywhere they go, it's all broken. No water. And people chase after all sorts of things in an effort to find success, or sometimes people call it happiness.
Algunos le llaman felicidad.
Now, there's a problem with happiness.
No, verdad,
happiness
con la felicidad.
Is always dependent
la felicidad
upon
depende
outward circumstances.
De las circunstancias alrededor nuestro.
But even when everything on the outside is going well, happiness
todo
is still a decision. And we all know that life doesn't always go perfect for us every day of our life. So we chase happiness, kind of like that rainbow, and we
have a little
illustration here. This is the way, this is really the great deception or the great lie. Success, we think, leads to happiness. Or it leads
to the
field. Not success of the way the world
sees it.
I heard about a story of a NFL player. He was part of a Super Bowl championship. That very night, he orders himself a Lamborghini.
Y esa noche, you know,
que
ganó,
as he's going to bed,
carro muy, muy caro, un Lamborghini.
It hits him. I'm no different than I was yesterday.
Yo no soy diferente de
I'm still empty.
Todavía estoy
what difference
vacío.
Is it made? In a couple of weeks, everyone will forget about the Super Bowl.
Y en una semana,
all
in a couple of days.
And he thought, is this all there is? And he reached the top of
everything.
He reached
la
the
cima people. Del deporte.
By the way, he later became a Christian.
Después se volvió cristiano,
You probably heard of Bruce Springsteen, famous guitarist in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 60, even 70, today.
80,
my understanding is playing music, he's made over $500 million. I think more than any other musician. That's a lot of money.
Eso es mucho dinero.
And in his autobiography, he talks about how after one big chunk of money came in, and he was actually on the cover of Time magazine,
the
cover of Newsweek magazine, he got a couple of his friends together and said, listen, let's just celebrate our success in driving across the country. And as they're driving through, I think it's West Texas, they pulled over and they saw like a bunch of people kind of in a park, having fun, eating, playing games. I think they're kind of dancing and everything too. And it hit him like a brick, he said. These people are happier than I am. And he writes that in his book. Or how about, I gotta get this quote out here,
Madonna.
She's pretty successful, you think? Well, in some ways, Tim Keller, a pastor in New York City, wrote this in his book. And it's a quote from her. from Vogue magazine, I guess. It says, my drive in life comes from a fear of being mediocre. That is always pushing me.
Eso siempre me empuja.
I push past one spell of it and discover myself as a special human
being.
But then I feel I am still mediocre and uninteresting unless I do something else. Because even though I have become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and I guess it never will. That's kind of sad, isn't it? So these are King Solomon, NFL player, Bruce Springsteen,
Madonna,
and many, many others who reached what they thought they reached at the top. And you know what? It did not satisfy. There's still an emptiness. Because all these things don't satisfy the soul. Now listen to what I'm not saying.
Escuchen lo que yo no estoy diciendo.
I'm not saying that there's not a place for money, for example.
No hay lugar para dinero, para
we have to have possessions.
Para tener posesión.
Relationships are important.
Las relaciones, amistades
God wants us to experience pleasure, enjoy life.
Placer es disfrutar de la vida.
He wants us to have wisdom.
Él quiere que tengamos sabiduría.
There's some benefit to sports, fitness, and health.
Hay beneficios en los deportes, these are part of life.
In themselves, they're not evil.
Ellos no son malos. Esas
but
cosas
they
no
cannot
son
be our dream.
No pueden ser nuestro sueño.
They can't be our one pursuit.
No pueden ser la cosa que perseguimos
they
día y noche.
Be our passion.
No puede ser nuestra pasión.
Because without
porque,
Christ,
porque
all
Cristo,
these things are nothing more than broken cisterns.
Nada más que cisternas con agujeros.
Now maybe I need to mention something else too. There's another kind of pursuit.
Algo más.
And this is usually the result of a frustration when nothing else is working in life.
Nada más me funciona en la vida.
In other words, after you've kind of hit a couple broken cisterns,
después de que ya
it's easy to
lugares,
just escape.
Es fácil escapar
into things like drugs,
como en las drogas,
excessive alcohol,
exceso de alcohol,
crime,
crimen.
If I can't get it legally, then I'll do
si
it illegally.
No puedo legalmente, lo voy a hacer ilegalmente, dice
sexual fulfillment outside of
autocentrarse en nosotros mismos,
gambling,
verdad, eso de jugar,
these
verdad,
are all
y apostar,
some people try it by I'll just become cool and kind of join some counterculture.
You know,
if I dress right or act right or say the right
things,
I'll become cool.
But
you know what? That doesn't really satisfy either.
Eso no satisface.
These are ways of escape.
Esas son formas que la gente usa para escapar.
Finding the living water. We just keep bumping up against broken cisterns. So even things like playing excessive amounts of video games.
Hay gente que se refugia en los juegos, videojuegos, en las películas.
Believe it or not, I watched 20 hours.
Oh, yo vi 20 horas de tal televisión.
¿Verdad?
Y se refugia
en los juegos. That's a way of escape.
Esa es la forma.
Sometimes it can be obsessive novel reading. Now again, doing a video game or watching a movie is not bad. But if we get so frustrated and all the systems are broken, we can pursue something that is it's just a way of escape. And it's almost always the result of a frustration that nothing else is working. Broken
systems.
Matthew 6:33. And this is an important principle in Scripture. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these other things will be added to you. You get that? If we are seeking first his kingdom
and his righteousness,
all these other things that we're pursuing, I mean, maybe not extreme wealth, but we're going to be taken care of. We'll be able to have enjoyment. We'll enjoy life. 1 Timothy
Primera de Timoteo,
chapter 4
capítulo 4
verse 7
versículo 7
says, but it had nothing to do with worldly fables, it's fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of God. For bodily discipline is only a little
part.
But godly discipline is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. Pursuing God, pursuing Jesus, His righteousness, godliness, that provides for both the present life and the life to come. There's a powerful warning that's given to us in the parable of the sower, which is probably most of us know. But it's, remember the seeds sown in four different places? But really the real message is, let's look at Luke 8. The seed that is sown among the thorns. Jesus translates it. And he says, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who heard. And as they go the way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasure in this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed, good soil, these are the ones who forget. Where la tierra rica es un hombre que ha oído la palabra con corazón recto y bueno, y la retiene y da fruto con su perseverancia. In other words, there's things that maybe aren't wrong.
Hay cosas que tal vez no son equivocadas, pero eso puede matar y ahogar la palabra de Dios.
Okay, so hopefully I've shown you today from the scriptures.
Que les haya mostrado hoy a través de las escrituras que no estén buscando el éxito en cosas equivocadas, en cisternas.
Is there something that's not broken? Yes, there is. It's the living water that Jesus offers.
Es el agua
and that's the only thing
de vida
that says. And once we begin drinking of these living waters, everything else.
Y si tú bebes del agua viva,
because that's the only thing that really satisfies.
But
if we're trying to do both, we're trying to
find out
Jesus when He satisfies,
you know
what He has, but I also want to try to kind of want all these other things too. It cannot happen. It doesn't work that way. Either you're pursuing vanity of vanities, emptiness,
lo vacío,
broken cisterns,
las cisternas,
or the pursuit of Jesus.
They
do not have the capacity to do five or six things or even two things.
Tú no puedes hacer dos cosas a la vez.
And that we have to do. We'll pick this up next week.
Vamos a seguir la próxima.
Father, what we can do. Let's pray.
Para ver qué podemos hacer.